Turn with me in your copies of God's Word or in the Pew Bible before you to Malachi chapter 1. I'll read for you verse 6 of chapter 1 through verse 9 of chapter 2. Give heed according to God's Word. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame, or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock, and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. And now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Have you ever met someone? Now, it could be a kid or a young adult or perhaps even an older adult. And you think, why are they like this? Why do they say that? Why do they do that? And then you meet their parent. You say, aha, now I know. It's no secret among us that when you're looking at Tristan Reed, you're looking at Sean. And when you're looking at Sean, who are you looking at? Don. And when you're looking at Don, who are you looking at? Morris. Right? There is a family similarity. It can be good. That is a case in which most of the time we would argue it's good. But we also know it can be bad. But it's not true just in genetic circles, it's also true in spiritual circles as well. You might look at a congregation somewhere and say, why are they like that? Why do they have those problems? Why do they respond that way? And then you meet the pastor. You can save your commentary for later. But you meet the pastor. Pastors who serve stiff-necked people usually have a stiff neck themselves. Pastors who serve gossiping people usually have gossiping lips themselves. Remember a couple weeks ago as we opened up the book of Malachi and we saw this argumentative nature of God's people. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? And we think, what's the deal, Israel? What's the deal, Judah? Why would you cop such an attitude with your God? But now we are entering into dialogue with the priests of God's people. The ones who are to be offering up sacrifices, to be serving, to be proclaiming God's word to his people, applying it to their various lives and situations. And the Lord begins here through Malachi establishing the general sense of equity on earth, that a son would honor his father and a servant would honor his master, with the understanding that he is the father and he is the master, and the priests, the Levites, were sons and servants of this Most High God. And God asks, where is my honor? Where is my fear? Where is the respect that I deserve? You priests who despise my name. And how do they respond? Just the same way the people respond. How do we despise your name? By offering polluted food on my altar. How have we polluted you? Have you ever been in an argument with someone like that? It's annoying to begin with because they have no argument. And it's frustrating because you realize we're never going to get over this issue. The Lord is in the same situation with his priests, who will not stand with him and confess with him how they have handled the task that they have been given. And as we continue on in this text, we're going to see three things. Two as direct understandings from the text, and a third, which is a question for application. The first thing is that the priests were delinquent sons and servants. They were delinquent sons and servants. This is a line that's hard to draw. We see it in the mid-20th century and groups like the Ku Klux Klan who claim to be Christians and claim to be serving God, and we have to ask, was that a representation of Christianity or was it not Christianity at all? Or like the church in America in the 19th century, as slavery was abounding, and some fought and defended the practice of slavery on biblical grounds, we have to say, was that Christianity? And here, as we see how the priests were mishandling their duties, we have to say, was this the true religion? And notice that God does not come and say, you are not my sons and my servants. No, he confirms, you are my sons and you are my servants. So why aren't you doing as you should? Why are you not honoring as you should? Why are you not fearing as you should? Your father and your master. The priests were totally delinquent. They were offering up pathetic sacrifices. They were despising God. They were polluting the worship. And our hearts can quickly want to turn to works righteousness. And we begin to envision the temple and the offerings, and we begin to say, well, that's right, they should have been trying harder. They should have been accomplishing it. And we turn to ourselves and we start to say, well, I need to do more and be more and try more. Rather than understanding the gracious flow in which this obedience was to come. That they were to entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to them. But see, the Lord does desire a certain quality of service, and that is to be our best in what he has called us to do. Not the best, but to be our best in what he has called us to do. It is interesting here that he invokes the human governor, king. Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? This is an interesting question. When you have friends come visit from out of town, do you make other plans knowing that they're going to be there? Or do you carve out all the possible time that you can to spend with them? If you typically clean house on Thursday, but your guests are arriving Wednesday night, don't you clean it on Tuesday? Some of you might see where I'm going with this. My friends, one day a week, the triune God promises that he will show up when we enter into worship with him on his day. Stop making other plans. Stop disrespecting our guest by piling your life so full you cannot carve out the day for him. I'll stop there as I'm starting to get convicted. See, these are the ones I get to preach to myself and you guys get to listen in, right? Are we delinquent as sons and servants? These priests were. It seemed like nothing was bad enough to offer up to God. Whatever the most pathetic thing was, they'd pretend, they would feign that they were honoring the Lord. When we hope in human leaders, we will be disappointed, will we not? The Old Testament is fraught with story after story of righteous king who then falls, and then a horrible king, and then one who tries to be righteous. And I mean, it is just seems like things go from bad to worse in the kingdom of God. But see, staring in the face of these priests as God convicts them of their delinquency, we are reminded that, secondly, Christ is the defectless son and servant. And this text points forward to Christ in an interesting way. It does it through the condemnation of the present priests. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. What is God saying? God is saying that after he had promised for his people to go and he had made that possible and they went and they accomplished what he asked them to do and they rebuilt the temple, they reinstituted the cultic ceremonial worship of God's people, he's saying it would be better for the doors to be shut and a closed sign to be hung over the doorknobs rather than for what is going on to be going on. I have no pleasure in you. I will not accept an offering from your hand. And then it's if God turns and broadcasts down through time what would happen when one does come to shut the doors of the temple. When one does come to complete the ceremonial worship of God's people. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Here, these people who had begun to presume upon the grace of God, it's us four, no more, lock the door, we're good to go, anything we do, God will accept. He began to remind them that he would blow the doors off their presuppositions of who would be brought into the kingdom of God, and there would be no place on earth that the sun shines, that there would not be a true believer. This should thrill us when we remember Christ sitting at the well with that poor woman, telling her that there would be those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. It should bring massive joy that when we are on the opposite side of the globe, that God has brought us into his kingdom. Because Christ, the true priest, is simultaneously pure priest and perfect sacrifice. He was not lame. He was not blind. He wasn't the runt of the litter. He was the perfect Son of God, and his blood was sprinkled in the heavenly places by himself, the pure priest. He who knew no sin became sin for us, becoming the perfect sacrifice. The Lord continues in his condemnation of the priests with a pretty drastic word picture for us. Dung. You all know the various words in the English language we have for this. This is God's commentary on the worship of his people. And he's going to rub their nose in it if they don't change their ways. He speaks here of a covenant that he made with Levi. He speaks of the lips of a priest guarding knowledge, seeking instruction, because the priest should be a messenger of the Lord of hosts. And we need to remind ourselves that we are a kingdom of priests, that we should be speaking the word of God to one another and to the world around us, and we should not be delinquent in our duties. We know that we will not be perfect as Christ, but we can preach the perfection of Christ, even as we do it imperfectly. That we have duties that the Lord would have us perform in his service, and they are rooted in, centered on, and spring out of his word. Not just what we feel would be neat or good or fun, not just what we think would speak to the generation of our day, but rooted in God's word, not being distracted from anything that he has given us to do. So thirdly, I ask, are we dutiful sons and servants? as children of God, as servants of the Most High, are we dutiful? Are we diligent in what He has asked us to do in the ministry of His Word? Again, guys like me, we're called to preach it publicly from a pulpit. You are called to preach it privately in your homes, in your workplaces, in your academic departments, in your hospitals, on the court, wherever the Lord has called you to serve. You are to be a priest for Him. You are to faithfully proclaim His law, applying it to the lives of those around you, reminding them of His rightful place as King over all. This is one of those texts that is very self-explanatory when we look at the priests of that day. It becomes a great contrast when we consider the priestly service and ministry of our Christ. And it's a fantastic reminder of all that we are to be doing as God's people in this time and place. Stand with me as we pray. Lord, we do not desire to have our nose rubbed in our sin, in our unfaithfulness and faithlessness and how we have served You. But Lord, we do desire to have our consciences pricked, that we might have our feet set aright on the path, on the rock. And Lord, that we might diligently and faithfully serve You in all the callings You have taken us to, even as we serve as Your kingdom of priests. Lord, cause us to remind one another of the perfect sacrifice of our high priest, Jesus, the perfect covering of our sin by His blood, and Lord, the perfections to which You will take us someday as You call us to Yourself. We pray in Christ's name. And church, let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.